back. It's a crime. It's a crime.
Here come the drums.
C-R-I-M-E-W-A-V. You're rolling with the Crime Wave, the internet's first and only podcast devoted to the crime short story. I'm Seth Harwood, your host, the first name in crime podcast fiction, and I'm ready to bring you this week's story. This week we have a doozy story for you from Jason Starr that is called The Last Bachelor of North Miami.
The Last Bachelor of North Miami by Jason Starr. I was in the kitchen, looking into the dining room through the pass-through at Tessie, who was sitting at the dining room table watching a soap opera, she called it her show, on the little black and white set. I was thinking how even with her teeth in, she looked like hell, and how I couldn't stand the sight of her anymore. "I'm going to the club," I said. She was staring at the set and didn't hear a word I said. How many times did I have to tell her to turn up her goddamn hearing aid? "I'm going to the club," I shouted. Her head started to turn, like she thought she heard something, maybe a little birdie tweeting outside, but she kept staring at the TV. I had to limp into the living room with my bad hip and my bad leg and lean right in front of her and say, "I'm going to the club," and she said, "What?" "The club," I said. "I'm going to the club." "Again?" she said. "What again?" I said. "It's morning. I didn't go yet today." "So, you went yesterday." "What, I can't go 2 days in a row?" "Stop yelling." "I have to yell. I talk. You can't hear a goddamn word I say." "You want to go to the club? Go to the club." "I am going. I wasn't asking you. I was telling you." I started toward the door, then stopped, said, "Ah, Christ," realizing I'd forgotten my Marlins cap. It was supposed to be a scorcher today, and I couldn't go outside without it. So I had to go all the way across the condo, into the bedroom, to get it. By the time I got the cap and made it back to the front door, I was exhausted and felt like I needed a rest. But like hell I would. I just wanted to get out of there as fast as possible. I wasn't going far away. I just had to get to the elevator in the middle of the condo, take it down one level, and then go about 20 more yards to Pearl's apartment. It took me about 10 minutes to get there. I rang the bell, knowing it would take her a while to get to the door. She'd had 2 hip replacements and needed a walker. She also had stomach cancer that kept coming back and a lot of other crap wrong with her. Didn't we all? I had so many pills I was supposed to take, I didn't know what the hell I was treating anymore. And the doctors down here, they didn't care if we lived or died. They just gave out pills and collected money. They weren't doctors. They were drug dealers. Sometimes Pearl had a home attendant come over. But I knew she didn't have one today, Wednesday. It was today, Thursday. I had no idea. And you know what, my dear Scarlet? I didn't give a damn. Finally, Pearl opened the door. "How's it going, baby?" I said, and laid a big one on her. I didn't know what it was about women, why some did it for me and some didn't. If you saw Pearl walking down the street, you might think she was no different than every other leathery, wrinkly old bag in North Miami Beach. Maybe you'd think she didn't look much different from Tessie. They both had the white hair up in a bun, and they both had thick glasses, and they were both fat. But to me, Pearl was the hottest dish in Florida. I turned 96 last year, but when I was around Pearl, I swear to God, I felt 75. She wasn't a spring chicken herself. She turned 91 last year, but she just had it, whatever the hell it was. Sure, part of it was fantasy. I knew that. She had pictures around her condo of her from the 50s, when she was a knockout back then, let me tell you. Tessie was good-looking in her day, too, but Pearl had pin-up girl looks. She had the acid blonde hair and the pointy brassiere and those great hips. What the hell happened to hips anyway? Now you see the young girls at the Broward Mall or wherever, and they're straight as a board, no curves anywhere. It had to all be the exercises they did and those goddamn diets. But yeah, Pearl used to be the real thing, all right. She reminded me of the broads I used to know back in the day when I had my pad on West 96th in Manhattan. I was a ladies' man back then, what they used to call a bachelor, before bachelor meant gay. I just didn't want to get tied down, that was all. I liked my freedom. I liked being on my own. I knew a lot of girls back then, fast girls, and I had me a time, all right. I never had kids, and I didn't get married for the first time till I was 52. And when Brenda died, I swore I wouldn't get married again. And I kept my word for a long time, too. When I moved down to Florida back in the 80s, I was in heaven. I was a single, good-looking widower around dozens of horny widows. Was I thinking about marriage? Like hell I was. I could still get it up back then, too. Yeah, sometimes I'd go through 3-4 broads a week, pick them up and put them down like bowling pins. Then in the early 90s, my medical problems kicked in. I had the bypass, the cancers removed, and I felt like I needed some companionship. Tessie was always nice to me and took care of me, and I knew she wanted to get hitched, so I figured, what the hell? Little did I know that less than a year into it, I'd already started to feel tied down and wanted out. And now, it had been 9 years, but it felt like 90. At the door, Pearl was kissing me back, and I pulled her closer to me, feeling her sagging breasts up against my chest, trying to imagine what they would have felt like when they were big and pointy back in the day. Then she pulled away when I tried to slip my tongue into her mouth. I don't have my teeth in yet, she said. Who cares, I said, and tried again. But she pulled back and said, oh, stop it, Jack, and went into the kitchen. Following her, I said, let's go to bed, baby. I wasn't looking to have a role with her. 10-15 years ago, I would have, for sure. But I couldn't remember the last time I'd had a hard-on. Maybe it was 5-6 years ago, in the middle of the night, when I was in bed with Tessie. A lot of good that did me. I used to use all the devices, the pumps and whatever, and Viagra. But nowadays, nothing helped. Besides, the way my heart was, the doctors told me that sex could kill me. But I still like getting naked with Pearl, touching her all over, even spending a little time below the belt, if you get my meaning. Hell, it was better than nothing, right? I can't do this anymore, Jack, Pearl said. Jesus Christ, why did women have to be so temperamental? If this were 1950, I would have slapped some sense into her. But you weren't allowed to do that nowadays, thanks to all the women's lib. I really felt sorry for the young guys today. I really did, having to let their women dish it out and having to just stand there and take it. What the hell can't you do? I was trying to hold back my anger, but my blood pressure was probably going through the roof, and my face was probably bright pink. This, she said, all this going around behind Tessie's back. I feel so bad about it. To hell with Tessie, I said. She's your wife, Jack. You never gave a damn about that before. I do now. Why? Because. Why because? That's the problem with you women. You think too much. She's my friend, and I don't want to hurt her. Stop with that crap, I said. What is it? Did they change your medication or something? I'm serious. We have to stop. Again, I wanted to slap her around. Pearl was the type who would have been slapped around before. I knew she was. Then I thought, what the hell? And I did it. It wasn't a hard slap. With arthritis in my elbow and shoulder, that was impossible. But it caught her right on the left cheek, and it made a nice sound. It served its purpose, that was for sure. She took it well, too, like a woman with class. She wasn't crying, and she didn't even look hurt. She knew she deserved it, that she'd been out of line, and it shut her up. That was the best part. We're not stopping anything, I said. I don't want to stop, she said. I love you. If you love me, keep your mouth shut and stop complaining, or there's more where that came from. She liked when I talked to her like that, I could tell. She was the old-fashioned type of broad, who knew her place and liked to be put in it. That was why I liked her so much. Of course I want to keep seeing you, she said, but not like this. Then like how? I want us to be together, really together. All right, and how the hell am I supposed to do that? Divorce Tessie. I thought about it a good 5 seconds and said, all right, that's what you want me to do? I'll do it. You're going to do it, just like that? Why not? She loves you. You want to be with me? Of course. Then shut up, take your clothes off, and get into bed, baby. She was the old-fashioned type, all right. She did exactly as she was told. Of course, the last thing I wanted to do was hurt Tessie, but I had no choice. Yeah, Tessie had been good to me, and she was loving and caring and all that crap. But what did I care? A guy had to take care of himself sometimes, right? I decided I'd get it over with as soon as possible, and I knew the best way to do it. I'd broken up with hundreds of broads over the year. The trick was to get it done quick, not dilly around. You had to just rip off the Band-Aid. It was better that way, limited the pain. That night, after Tessie put dinner down on the table and we started eating, I said, look, it's over, all right? That was the way to do it. Just lay it on them, nice and clean. What? Jesus, I didn't have patience for this hearing aid crap. It's over, I yelled. I'm leaving you for Pearl. She heard me loud and clear, but she looked confused, maybe hurt. But that wasn't my problem. "What do you mean?" she said, her eyes getting moist. "What are you?" "Look," I said, "I don't mean anything personal by this, see? I think you're a swell broad and all, but I want to be with Pearl, and that's it. I'm going to pack my stuff and move into her place. I'll get a lawyer to work out all the paperwork with Social Security checks and whatever. Sorry it had to end this way, but that's just the way it is, baby." Yeah, I handled it perfectly all right, like a knockout punch in the first round. The screwy old bat didn't know it hit her. The rest of the night she was in bed crying a lot, and she was on the phone with her kids down in the city. I hated seeing her like that, I honestly did. What the hell was I supposed to do? Stick around being miserable just to make some broad happy? That wasn't my style. Never had been, never would be. I didn't try to talk to her at all, because I knew it wouldn't do any good. When women got upset, there was no stopping them. I packed a valise. I didn't have much stuff. I'd always kept my life that way, light. I had some pictures of my nieces and nephews and their kids and other stuff like that that I wanted to take along, but I figured I'd get a maintenance guy to pack up that crap for me eventually. As usual, I had to get up to pee about a dozen times, but besides that, I slept well. Tessie wasn't in bed with me. She slept the night in the living room, crying like a goddamn baby. And in the morning, she was still there. "Get over it already, will ya?" I said. I took a shower and got dressed. Then I wheeled the valise out through the living room and headed toward the front door. I was thinking about my new life with Pearl, how great it would be to eat some new cooking for a change, when I felt the pain in my back. I'd had a heart attack once, a mild one, and that's what I thought was happening, something with my heart or my lungs. I hit the floor hard and my bad hip went, making a loud snapping noise, and then I saw all the blood. I still didn't know what was happening. I thought I was hemorrhaging or something. Then I looked up at Tessie, holding the big bloody knife. "You think I'd let you walk out of here?" she said. "You two-timing bastard." She took another swipe at me with the thing. This time she only grazed me. I tried to get up. I wanted to take that knife away from the crazy old broad, teach her a lesson she'd never forget. But, goddammit, I couldn't move. Hell, I couldn't even breathe.
In fact, it's a crime. It's a crime.
Here come the drums!
Thank you for listening to The Crime Wave. I'm your host, Seth Harwood. I hope you'll check out the rest of the stories here on Crime Wave and tell your friends about it. It's the CRIMEWAV. Help pass the word, register at our site so that you can participate in the forums and add comments to the episodes. You can email us with questions or comments at info@crimewave.com. Aldo, the mystery dog, and I will get your email and we'll get back to you right quick. You can also call the K7 line, 206-350-4998, to leave comments or feedback. And if you leave a great message, we'll even play it at the end of a show. So drop a line, hop on the website, visit often, spread the word, and thank you for stopping by The Crime Wave. Get dressed! Get dressed!